Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is a word for every one of us. It has really been a word that God has made real to my heart. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All of Galatians is awesome and powerful. All the Word of God is awesome and powerful. But this is one of those one verses that puts so many things together. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath, it's already been paid for, made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I like how-tos. We just give it a title of how to stand fast. People that stand fast make it. People that stand fast, some way, somehow they come through. People that know what to do when you don't know what to do, God brings them through. You remember Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do. Dear Lord, I've said that more times than I could ever count. Lord, I should know what to do. I've been there before. I've seen you do awesome things. But Lord, right now, I don't know what to do. Don't know which decision to make, which way to go. But he said, our eyes are on you. Church, we're in a time. Forget for a moment political parties, affiliations, or no affiliation. We're in a time that our only answer is faith in our God. It's amazing that the center verse in the Bible is about trusting in the Lord. In Psalms 118, that central verse of all verses in the Bible. I've read different insights. I've read what Dr. Strong has said and other translations, and I guess I just keep coming back to the simplicity of stand fast. Stand fast. You know, a boxer doesn't go to the ring, look at his opponent, and say, oh, my Lord. Now, I've seen wrestlers come to the ring and run, but they had that all figured out before they got there, you know. Still hurts, but you know, the baseball player doesn't come out when the Yankees were in their glory and say, oh no, we're playing the Yankees tonight. Of course, that's not as big a deal right now as it has been in days gone by. You really don't accomplish anything until you learn how to stand. I remember Brother Shin, Pastor Glenn Shin with us here this morning. He just sold out everything he had in Covina, California, and came to Waxahachie, Texas, like most of us probably couldn't spell it for the first year we were there. But he came because God told him to, and I saw him stand. I saw him stand. I'm using that as one illustration, but with all of us, the secret is in learning how to stand when you know where you are. I mean, you know you're standing in the right place. Now, the Bible said stand. Okay, so we stand. But the Bible said stand fast. That means stand, keep on standing, and keep on keeping on standing. Let me paraphrase that a little bit. You don't just stand for a while. But stand fast. Stand steady. Don't blink. Hold your ground. Stand fast. You say, well, what's such a big deal about that? Well, there's some things that are rolling over my heart. I've been riding on everything from bills to airline tickets to... I've got about four, five, or six things that some of them say some of the same thing, but it just keeps coming out. See, it said, stand fast, therefore. And I just wrote this out, now and forevermore. If you know the principles of God's word, the only way it's going to work is to stand and continue to stand. Now, how do we stand? Now, this is not mind over matter. This is not just positive thinking. Positive thinking helps. But the Bible said, stand fast, therefore, now and forevermore, I would say, in the liberty. How do you stand and keep on standing? In the liberty. The liberty. Salvation is liberty. Holy Ghost is liberty. When God delivers you or brings deliverance to your life, it's liberty. You're not in bondage. You're not isolated. In the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Church, listen to me. It's important to know who you are and what you have in Christ. Because it goes beyond what you think. It goes beyond what you feel. It goes beyond the circumstances of the immediate. It goes beyond human reasoning. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. Get this in your heart. Write it down in your Bible where you can see it very easily. Christ has set me free. I may not take advantage of it. I may choose not to dwell on this or think on this or meditate on this or follow through with this. But the bottom line is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has set us free. It's part and parcel of the salvation of God. I may be acting like I'm in bondage. I may be thinking like I'm in bondage. I may be acting like, you know, there's nothing I can do. But that's not the truth of the matter. The problem I have at that moment is my stinking thinking. God has set us free through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has set us free. He didn't just die on that cross to be religious. He died for us. He died for you. He died for me. Not for our sin, but for the sins of the world that he took on him. And the Bible said, stand fast. We don't have to run. We don't have to quit. We don't have to quiver in cowardice. We don't have to be, listen to me, we don't have to be intimidated. I mean, this situation we were just praising God for. I mean, a house was gone. Now, sometimes people fall on hard times. I understand that. We understand that. But here, they had made the payments, but now, someone the other day, I understand, they said, if you can just show me who is the original paper on this, I'll pay. And the government still hadn't figured out, going through all the different transitions, where the note really belonged. That's the day in which we're living. You can be doing the right thing. And the system can come down on your head. Thank God we have attorneys. Thank God we have advocates and people to take our part. But God wants us to know, of everything in your life, you're in your walk with God, you can stand fast on the promises of God. You can stand fast on what God has said. You can hold steady in the midst of what God has promised you. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. I said God hasn't changed. Stand fast now and forevermore. And the Bible went on to say, be not entangled again. You know what the problem is with far too many of the body of Christ? We're caught in the yarn. We're wrapped up in the ropes. Because when you walk out or walk away from what God has already done. Yes, God's a God of mercy and grace. Oh my Jesus. None of us would be here today but for that. But when you We need to put a disclaimer on this property. We really need to put a disclaimer on all doors. The gospel that you hear will either change you or callous you. The songs you hear in this place will either change you or they will callous you. The teaching that you hear in Bible school, it will either change your life or it'll make you cynical and caustic. You know, want to analyze everything. I guess we ought to put some disclaimer signs around here. Because when you've been to this house, you know God can save a marriage. When you've been to this house, you know God can save children. When you've been to this house, you know God can save grandchildren. When you've been to this house, you heard it this morning, God can save a house that was gone. It wasn't legally right, but it was gone. Life isn't what's always right. Life isn't always fair, but God is. So the Bible said, be not. He's made us free. Be not entangled again. Church, I'm crying out to you as a pastor today. We stick our foot back into things that we should never stick our foot back into. God sets us free. Attitudes, spirits of offense. Some of you, God set you free from certain friends. But how can you lose a friend that you never had? And we turn right around, get soggy and sentimental, and think we have to go mess with something that God set us free. There's a lot of people in our life, you can be kind, you can be courteous to them, but don't get involved in their mess. Don't get involved in their attitude. Keep yourself above the fray. That's good ministry. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When I start fearing, fear is no win. It's like quicksand. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. When I get a spirit of offense, there's no way I can reconcile that thing except to kill somebody. And your mind's not going to do that. God's saying, what are you sticking your foot in? What have you stuck your foot back in to that God set you free? I know this is utter simplicity, but I'm telling you, these are steps to revival. These are steps to revival. And I'm just telling you, you don't need a new relationship with another man or woman. You need a fresh relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I was ministering to men in Hawaii with Dr. Ed Cole. He's going to be with the Lord now. And he said, you know, Bob, he said, we were talking about a certain situation of minister and wife that had missed it. He said, I never cease to be amazed at what people gave up and what they got. That was a man had a lot of wisdom, a lot of wisdom. Stand fast now and forever in the liberty. Now, there's some things that I think God wants us to stand fast. God wants you to stand fast in your faith. I said, God wants you to stand fast in your faith. I know we may be criticized for being a faith church. I'll take the hit. You're mighty right. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You get your truck stuck in that quicksand, faith's the only thing that's going to bring you out. Only thing that's going to bring you out. So stand fast in your faith. We should know this. I should know this. But this is one of the things. I just went down a checklist. And the Spirit of God said, exhort the people and exhort him on her. Stand fast in your faith. I know of a outstanding field ministry. One of the greatest faith teachers I've ever heard. Probably father of much faith material. And yet for some reason his wife did not get healing in a certain thing and had to have a kidney or something. And he, for a while, he became so, I don't know, disappointed, mad, bitter. He just didn't preach for a while. He got aggravated at God. Now listen, I believe in healing. I believe in every day. If it doesn't happen, I forgot it. But every day I speak health and healing. And you'd better do the same thing. You don't know who's been messing with your food before you got it. Amen. We're not swine. Someone said, aren't you worried about the swine flu? I said, I'm not a swine. But you need to polish, cultivate, read, exercise your faith in God. I mean, from the day we walked into that post office building, there he goes, there you go again. Thank you, Brother Reagan. Praise God. There he goes again. From the day I walked into the post office and turned that key and looked at an impossible mess that was any semblance of anything but a church, I saw in my heart, basically, not everything, but I saw basically in my heart, here's where an auditorium will be, here's where this will be. And I had builders come in and say, you can't do anything with this building. Well, I'm glad I didn't know I couldn't. So we did. We did. No big thing for me, but it's amazing how that God will take a rod, a stick, or a stone, or the jawbone of a donkey and do something with it. From that day forward, it's all been faith. It was faith in the negotiations over that little $40,000 building, which was more money than I'd... $40,000. And on the story goes, because God knew there'd be a day $1.5 million would be on the bargaining table. Then, then other things that you've heard me say a number of times. But it's all faith. In my naive thinking, sometimes I think, when does it ever come to the point when every day you don't have to use your faith? Dr. Lester Sumrall said, I'd like to do one project at least once. I think he was being facetious in what he said. He said, without having to use every ounce of faith I've got. He said, everything God calls me to do, I have to use every ounce of faith I have to see it come to pass. All right? Stand fast. I want you to write these. Just purpose. I'm going to stand fast on my faith. About what? About everything. Stand fast for your marriage. Stand fast for your marriage. Now, I'll just say one thing. It's impossible to live with somebody that won't live with you. This is not a statement of bondage or legalism. But if you're married, it's pretty expensive to turn things around otherwise. And you need to pray over your marriage. Pray over your marriage. And you that are single, you don't get married just on a whim. Because the physical can fizzle out. And the physical can have a fit. And the physical can tell you to go fishing when you had other ideas. But we need to pray over our marriage that the Spirit of God rules and reigns. We need to pray over our temperaments. We need to pray over our temperaments. I had to ask my wife to forgive me this last week. I was ready to go, and there were two very sensitive things that had to be dealt with by phone. Well, I looked down, and my juice time is gone. And now I can't find the suitcase. It was totally in a different place than it normally would be. Both suitcases that I would alternately use or could use in that type of situation. And for a moment, I got a little bearish. I got a little frustrated. I've got somebody going to be ringing my doorbell. I've got an airplane that if we don't catch that, there's no refund on the tickets. And I can't find my suitcase. And I've used my juice time to help people. And I wasn't my sweet self. And Joy wasn't in the mood for me not to be my sweet self. So But I called her back from the airport and I said, honey, I am sorry. I just got overloaded. You know, I got a little short. Did you ever do that? Stand fast for your children. Oh, our kids are perfect. I get so, boy, my heart goes out of people think they got perfect children. Anyway, moving right along here. Now, let's put it this way. If things are going great, keep on praying to keep them great. You still need to keep your faith on the line. We're going to have to use faith over our children all of our life. My daughters are not running from God, doing wrong things, but Joe and I still use our faith for Susan and for Janet and, of course, for Susan's family. We're going to use our faith all of our life. You just don't get to the place where everything's cool and you don't need faith. You need to pray over the church. It's amazing how many people fuss about a church, but they never really spend any quality time praying over a church. I need all the prayer that you can give us. Likewise, my wife. We've had, you know, two or three of the staff wives here that have come under attack. Pray not only just, you know, for us guys, pray for our precious, our wives. And, you know, I've seen people that were so blessed God about this and blessed God about that. And if you just had faith, yeah, honey, you'll call my phone one day. There's a time when we all need God. And there's a time we don't have all the answers. And there's a time we may be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But for that moment, we need some help. We all are there. You need to pray over your finances. Well, Brother Nichols, we don't have any financial problems. I'm talking to you. Pray over your finances. Well, my business is in good shape. Wonderful. I salute you. But pray over your finances. We're living in times when strange things are happening. Pray over your finances. Stand fast concerning your finances. Stand fast concerning your job. I believe it's in U.S. News on the plane coming back that 1,900? Anyway, there's 1,000 GM dealers and about 900 Chrysler dealers. And some of them are third generation families. I mean, the whole family. It goes from grandfather to son to grandson. Now all of a sudden they get the notice, liquidate everything you have in 30 days. But the car business doesn't work that way. You know, the market's strange right now. I mean, and one man said, this is an inconceivable moment. He said, I can't comprehend what's happening. He said, we've been the leading, I believe he said, Chrysler dealership over a certain region. And my brother down the street, he gets to keep his agency. You know, this is a strange day. Strange day. You've done the right thing. You paid your bills. You did what you're supposed to do. And you get a cancellation and that you're out of business. Strange. Pray over your job. And you know, we need to pray over purity and holiness. We need to pray over purity and holiness. I shudder at what not just adults, but what these kids encountered in the internet. Sin's always been there, but you had to look for it. Yeah, you could sin minor league, but I mean, if you really wanted to get into some tough stuff, you had to go look for it somewhere. Today, you just sit in your little chair in your bedroom, and you can pull up all the hell you can handle right there before your face. And some people say, well, my little darling would never watch stuff. Well, sometimes you push the wrong button and you don't have a choice until you know which button to push. I'm not trying to get into all that because I'm not an expert in that area, but I am an expert in what I'm telling you. Folks, we need to pray over purity and holiness. You know, when you pastor, you've got to have grace, but you've also got to have purity and holiness. Man, if it wasn't for grace, this preacher wouldn't be standing before you today. I don't stand before you as the perfect model of everything a minister should be. But, you know, when you pastor a church, I mean, you got some folks with one foot in the commode and the other foot standing on the Word of God. Something's wrong, you know. and they don't know the difference. You can wear the power tower out, but there's some purity and some holiness. Run from me. You know, Joseph, God love him. You know, there's some people I'm appreciating more than a Job is one of those. Joseph is one of those. I mean, he's away from home. Nobody knows anything. And here is a good-looking woman. I mean, she is fine. And here is Joseph, away from family, away from influence. The church will never know. His parents will never know. He's had a bad deal on top of that. He has really had a bad deal. And Joseph was all man. He was all man. And yet, when it came down to it, he fled. Sometimes it's just best to get out of there. Drive off. Drive away. Conclude a conversation. Joseph fled. And you know, it's really interesting. God always brought him back to the top. You know, you just keep doing what God told you last. It's amazing how God will bring you through. You say, well, Pastor, we need a message that has some real meat. You're getting some meat here this morning. We're walking through a sewer to get to heaven. You do understand that. I mean, you sit in an airplane, you got bad conversation going on one side and bad conversation going on. I mean, you know, in life. In the average school, we live in a world, we're moving through a sewer to get to heaven. And also, you know, you need to stand fast in the liberty that you have in Christ. Confess that. Believe that. I'm not in bondage. I'm free. I'm free. Free in Jesus. Sin does not have dominion over me. I can give it dominion over me, but God said sin doesn't have dominion over me. That's what the Word says. Now I've got to believe God or believe my own flesh. And you know, they're just, you know, believe God for your own sanity. Believe God for your thought processes. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I wrote this down. Everything that God has ever done for you periodically will be challenged by Satan. Everything that God has ever done for you, whether it's setting you free, you know, I mean, it may be a split second when you have to make up your mind which way I'm going. Everything that God's ever done for you periodically will be will come, you know, through the evil one. It will periodically be challenged. Because Satan, 9 times out of 10, works on your former weaknesses. And so that's where we pray about that. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I like to pray it like this. Lord, don't let me be led into something that I'm not able to cope with. You said you should be able to. Yeah, that's true. But Lord, you know. You know the flesh. You know today. And you know, in a place like this, the message of this house is this. There's nothing here too hard for God. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And you know, it's dangerous to come into a place like this. I've seen people come in and just set their jaw like a bulldog. They ain't going to hear nothing. They ain't going to do nothing. And then leave and they're mad at everything. Let me tell you something. There is an eternal responsibility in hearing a simple preacher just like me preach this morning. It's decision time. God is saying, are you going all the way with the Lord or are you going to compromise? Are you going to agree with the naysayers or are you going to be one of those that said we're well able to take the land? You know, just this week alone. I mean, when I was down in Florida, asked where a couple of folks were. Well, here's a man that's pastored for many years. So he leaves his wife, leaves his children. Now he's living with a go-go girl. He's divorced. I said, no. You pull him out. Yes.
How?
He didn't stand fast. He didn't guard his mind. He got to thinking he was King Kong. And she'll find someone else when his money's gone. Now listen, I mean, if you even get a whiff or a sniff of divorce, lock in on that thing and don't pet it. Speak the word of God. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Some things are not salvageable, but we've seen a lot of things that are salvageable. And God can do it. God can do it. I know this is not a shouting message, but you know, when we do not stand fast in the liberty, we go back to the bondages and become entangled with the yokes of the past. Did you ever find anything tangled? They were going to try to find something there. But you see, depravity like junk food always tastes better than health food. Governor Huckabee said, if it comes through a window, it's not food. Junk in the box. Ronald, if it comes through a window, it's not real food. It'll help you temporarily, but ultimately it loads you down. Well, aren't you just glad you go to a church where we preach a little bit of everything? Huh? Christ hath made us free from the yoke of bondage. It's dangerous to hear the truth and to walk away and become hard-hearted. I don't know of a house in the world that has more grace than this house right here. If you just try to play ball. You won't play hard ball, you'll get hard ball. You can come in and tell everybody how to do it and tell me what to do. And you don't come telling me what you made up your mind you're going to do and then ask me what I think about it. Just don't waste my time. But I'm telling you, there is grace in this house. I don't care how badly you've messed up, how you splattered against the wall. I've seen it time and time again. This place has been a house and a harbor of mercy and grace. Well, I'm afraid if they discover my sin, they'll never respect me. That's a bunch of garbage. Makes us love you more. We know you're human. Don't wallow in it, but you understand what I'm saying. This is a house of grace. But we can't help you if you won't let us help you, or if you won't let one of the staff help you. You've got to open up and let somebody help you. It's dangerous to hear and accept Jesus. I remember standing just two steps over where my wife's sitting right there. I can hear it. And it was so forceful, I turned around to see who was doing it. A young man who came in, this church covered him with love, blessed him in the Bible school, helped him in so many ways. Born again, filled with the Spirit. Rough background, drugs, and you know, all the stuff that goes with so much stuff nowadays. And right there where that gray carpet and the red carpet kind of come together, is that one, two, three, about four pews back. One night when everybody was praying around the altar, I heard such a forceful praying in the Spirit, it just melted my heart. And I turned around, I thought, who in the world? You know, you recognize some voices, you don't recognize every voice. I turned around, and it was that young man praying in the Spirit. I know I heard. He didn't just come and smile and answer one altar call and then he turns out to be a rascal. That's not it. Standing right there, I heard him praying in the Spirit. And I've been thinking about that for several days. Not in church. Walked away. Life's in a lot of problems. Is that negative? No. But he whom the Son hath made free is free again. The Bible talks about the dog returning to his own vomit. Vomit stinks. Vomit doesn't taste good. Vomit is what happens when you've had too much of the world system. So, as we stand fast in the liberty. See, sin, all sin is a yoke. You don't pick and choose sin. All sin is a yoke. And sin hurts everybody. We've dealt with that this last week. Some people thought their sin would never touch anybody. But you see, sin hurts everybody. Touches everybody. So what's the answer? Stand fast. I said stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty. Just make up your mind. I'm going to stand fast. And let me give you one more, church. I know we talk about revival, and we just had revival now. And I know we have some of the leading, powerful, anointed evangelists. But let me tell you something. This whole church needs a whole new level of revival. And I'll put myself right in the center of it. We're getting too complacent. Just coma si, coma sa. Oh, we've been to revival before. Yeah, I laughed once. And I'm busy. What are you busy doing? Is it going to make any difference? Jesus is coming, folks. I said, Jesus is coming. What are you busy about? We're so busy. And I remember, I could write an encyclopedia on revival from 93. I mean, that thing was red hot. And Paul Cruz and his team, they were headed for a baseball championship. And Paul came to me with tears in his eyes one night. He said, Pastor, he said, to do that, we're going to have to miss part of this revival. He said, would it be all right? Because I know, you know, people know we represent Calvary. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think it was the Calvary team, but it was we had several guys involved. He said, if unless you feel a check, I'm going to go to the people and tell them we can't finish that. And they said, well, you know, you'll probably be winners because you're beating everyone else. I mean, they were headed for a championship. But you see, they chose revival over sports. And that's increasingly becoming a challenge. They chose revival. I was talking to Paul coming back from the airport yesterday. You know, when you know you're going to be a champion, you got the trophy. I mean, you're going to be the winner. And you walk away from it and said, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. And I remembered when I got some tapes and, you know, I started to say I'd not seen laughter on that plane, but I remember Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was with us, about 2.5 months, 3 months before Brother Rodney got here. And I remember Brother Hagin's a big guy, you know, of course he's with Jesus now, leaning over the pulpit for about an hour and a half, just laughing hilariously. As hilariously as I've ever heard Rodney Hart Brown laugh. And that same spirit, I've seen that in camp meeting in Tulsa. But I mean, right there in our former auditorium, he just leaned over the pulpit. And there's a lot of him lean over the pulpit. And to make a long story short, I flew to Lakeland. Came in, had a migraine headache. I'd preached all weekend. I'm not given to headaches, but I was tired. Sat on the back row so I wouldn't have to get involved or get caught in that. But I'll tell you what got the hook that got me when I saw the altar call and about 140 or 50 people came to get born again. I said, I believe I can handle some laughter. And by the way, being a pastor all these years, you know, happy people pastor better anyway. It's those grouches that cause you a lot of problems. The old religious spirit, you know. And I remember we invited Brother Rodney to come. It wasn't gimmickry with me. And you know what happened? We had a summer of revival. God said we'd have a summer of revival. That doesn't mean he's perfect or I'm perfect or you're perfect. But it was a combination that God chose. And we saw that place rocked with the gospel and the power of God. Just like the other night. Went in about 7 o'clock and got out about 12. That'll knock a religious spirit in the head. Then they start pulling their calendars out, you know. But folks, listen, there's a price tag for revival. And it's not on our terms. It's not on my terms. It's not everything happening just like I want it to happen. It's just coming. And I told Brother John Hall, I said, Brother John, I want you to come to the meeting. But I said, when he receives the offering, it doesn't mean it's over. It's about midway in the service. And so when he left home, he said, I'll be home when I get home. And he said, boy, you were right. But God touched his life, and he's never been the same. God touched Brother Tom and Janie and all of us. I'm going to tell you, you say, how do you survive a tornado? The spirit of faith, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of joy, the spirit of outreach, spirit of faith. Did I already say that? There are strong spirits that have been released. I know it's a different location, but the same anointing is with this church. Thank God for the spirit of faith that we've been taught, if you'll just listen to it. And the spirit of prayer. Thank God Brother Gentry's led us in such victorious times of that. And then just the spirit of the joy of the Lord. I mean, it took 2 weeks for that thing to break. We don't have that kind of time. And there are people who said, you're going to ruin your church. I said, if that ruins it, we'll raise up some more people in those seats. No, really, it wasn't a prideful statement. I was hungry for God, and I'm still hungry for God. I'm concerned. I see young couples. They're just not coming to church much. It was the gas, the price of gas. Okay, I know people on tight, but gas went down. Still haven't seen them, except every once in a while. Folks, America could go up in smoke. We're sitting on a powder keg. I said, I'm not being negative. We're sitting on a powder keg. And it came to me after Brother Gentry made the statement that it's an emergency time that a person in high places talked to someone of our congregation. And they said, where have you been for a month? They said, we've been, they call the city, in intensive training on how to handle terrorists. We've got them all over the Metroplex. And we've got some stuff that'll blow up all over the Metroplex. Do you know that? We got gas wells. We got a nuclear plant not too far away. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can blow up around here. Oil reserves, oil, you know, the storage tanks. We have an airport out here. I mean, there's all, folks, it's only the grace of God that's kept our nation. Now, you say, no, I'm not negative. I'm on the positive side of this thing. If it blows up, I go up. But it's time for revival. Well, if it's convenient, if I get around to it, church, I'm crying out with all my heart. I know some people, I know there's a time you can't, and I know pretty well those that can't. And I've never had a word of condemnation, but I'm talking about the folks. You know, I looked at people who came 10,000 miles to be there in Florida this week, and some folks wouldn't travel 10 blocks. Church! Oh, it's time we get the zeal of the Lord. I want revival. I'm hungry for the moving of God's Spirit. Tired of my flesh, my thoughts, my ways. There's nothing in this world that can make you happy but Jesus. No man, no woman, no automobile. Money can't make you happy. Only Jesus can make you happy.